Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. My name is Zenya and I'm joined with the guy flicking the pages over there, if you can hear. Otherwise known as Jesse Felly. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Zenya.
Are you excited to be here?
I'm very excited. I just found it. I was looking for a few minutes. I wasn't looking very hard, to be honest.
Great. Love that, because the word of God just finds you. You don't even have to look hard. Look hard, it will just find you. Well, I'm super excited because, guys, we have a very special guest joining us for this episode of Galatians. We have the one and only Zoe. Hey. Zoe's with us, yeah. Guys. Guys, hello. Zoe is one of our interns at The Way. She does a lot of stuff, BTS, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Some of these, shout out to the YouTube shorts, guys. Listen, Zoe was carrying at one point. Zoe was pressing, posting, you know, taking the pictures. Do you remember the team retreat that we did?
Yeah.
Do you remember your iconic shot?
Oh, Izzy.
Do you want to tell the people? This is exciting, guys.
We were on the beach on our retreat. And I took the camera from Tom and I was like, oh, can I use it? Oh, from Michelle. my bad. And I don't know. I just saw Izzy. She was running to go back into the sea because Jesse and Zach and Dan were all in there. And I was like, oh, can I run with you? And I didn't even think. And I just started running with the camera. And Joel, Michelle and Tom were all like freaking out because I had this expensive camera in my hand. I was like, yes, Izzy, yes.
And then one of the sidelines like
breathing so heavy, but the favour of the Lord was on me.
Listen, and that clip was iconic. If you've seen it, you know that clip had that season in it.
Watch the vlog.
Come on, plug the vlog. But we love you, Zoe. We love having you.
I love you guys.
Are you excited to be on the pod?
I'm so excited. Let's get into the word. I'm so excited.
Hey. She's ready to go. What do you guys think of Galatians so far? Do you like the book? Have you read it before? What's the vibes? I mean, we're three chapters in now, so it's like we're in it.
It's challenging, hey?
Yeah.
I feel like challenged by Paul in what he models on how to like kind of have healthy conflict. Like we looked at the chapter before and a lot of it was based around conflict between Peter and like and kind of how do you call out gold in people well? Like in Galatians 3, it's this like kind of like this father figure, being like even the first line, who's bewitched you? Like we'll get into it in a sec, but it's like he really cares about raising people up and sharpening people. And it's definitely challenged the way that I view friendships and even like, I don't know, all kind of dynamics from friendships to mentors to mentees. Like how do I call out the gold, like Paul does, hey?
And that's cool. We want to be
serious.
No, it's going to be great. And I think that just speaks to like, we want to be people that don't like tell people off, but it's like we want to correct in love. Yeah. And we also want to encourage people and champion people with their faith as well. So I think that's really cool. Zoe, what are your like initial thoughts? Do you like Galatians? Are you like, this is good?
Yeah, I love Galatians. I think like Paul is just that guy. He has given us so many letters, so much wisdom in the New Testament. And I love this book. 3 and 4, 5 and 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is just
all the chapters. The whole book.
The whole book. You should read it. I feel like he's reminding the Church of Galatia of their identity.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't like going back to what you said, Jesse, about being a good friend or just being a good person to whoever's in your circle, is being able to remind those around you of who they are and like of their value and of their worth and like what they already know, but they might have forgotten because somebody else has come along and spoken lies over them, you know? So Paul's coming back in. He's saying, no, put your chin up. This is who you are.
Yeah. And if you guys are wondering what the lies are, well, we're about to get into it straight off the back because this guy doesn't play any games, Paul. No, he goes straight in with the truth. So we're going to read from verses 1 to 9 and then we'll like discuss it afterwards and see what like stands out to us. Do any of you guys want to read or am I going to read? What does that mean?
I'm keen to read.
You're keen to read.
I'm so keen to read. Oh, okay.
Yes, Zoe.
What version are you reading?
NIV.
Ooh.
Yes, Zoe, with that blue Bible.
Come on.
Are you on NIV as well, then?
No, I read from the NLT, but I do like NIV. It's good.
Oh, we've all got different versions. That's good.
Love that.
How do you know what version I have?
ESV.
Yeah, you're right. How did you know that?
You're very much an ESV advocate.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NIV version. Follow along, guys. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith.
Mm. Well, Paul, tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, be honest.
Guys, imagine if you were just going about your day, you know, thinking everything's fine, and then you get a letter in the post and someone says, you foolish. Not him upset. With I don't know why, but that just like, that exclamation mark had serious sauce in it. Like, he's not angry. He's peppered that with something else. But like, that just speaks to how serious this issue is. Like, the gospel is the most powerful message you can ever hear. And the fact that it's been tainted in such a way, that's so serious. Like, people's lives are at risk, you know, like, to be able to hear it. So I think Paul's anger is actually justified.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it's loving.
Mm.
It's like, I don't think that Paul is like condemning
the church. Yeah.
It's like he just really cares about falling back to the old things.
Mm.
And he's like, after beginning by means of the Spirit, why are you trying to finish by means of the flesh?
Mm.
It's like you were set free. Who's bewitched you? Who's the one that's enchanted you? Who's preached a false message to you in order to taint your perspective of God so that you run yourself into the ground following the wrong theology? It's like he's actually caring. He's like, guys, come on. We've been set free from doing works of the flesh. Like, and we can talk more about that. I've got lots, like even this specific choice of Abraham in this is so profound.
Yeah.
There's lots around his message, but I think the first one to hear it is like, this is actually a call higher out of love rather than out of anger, you know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like let's sit on the first part about the bewitched you and all that, like finishing by means of the flesh, and then we'll go to Abraham after. But I think the reason why I find this so interesting is because in I think it might be Galatians 1, so go back and listen to that if you haven't, but Paul talks about how when he how he received the gospel wasn't from any human teaching or any human knowledge. It was literally God. And if you know Paul's story, like, that couldn't be more true. Like, he was out here killing Christians for their faith, like being like, the God that you believe in is not true, and stop preaching this false narrative because this is not helpful. And then to do a whole 180 and then literally meet Jesus and go blind and hear Jesus say, why are you persecuting me? Like, I've now got an assignment for you. And then he goes into the churches and now he's talking about, like, it's like, weren't you the guy that was just, you know, like, it's such a 180. But that wasn't because of anything that he did. That was because of the Spirit. And I love how he said, talks about like something that God has started in the Spirit, now you're trying to end it in the flesh. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I think for me, it speaks to like, when you're transformed by God and like when you meet with Jesus and you have that encounter and you come to know him, great, awesome, like accept that faith, like go for it. But then also we have such a long life to like work out our faith. What does that mean? Like, how do I live and all that stuff? And it can be so tempting to try and figure it out in your own strength and almost like figure it out in your own flesh, like your own human understanding. But like, why start something in the spirit but end it in the flesh? Like that we have to allow God to like transform us fully, like allow the spirit to lead you and to teach you. It's like what it says in Philippians 1:6, like he who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of Jesus Christ. Like it's God that starts a good work, so it's up to God to finish it. And so like that takes the pressure off me figuring out my faith, because I know that I don't need to come up with the plan of how to be a better Christian, or like, oh, how do I forgive? How do I do? No, I can just ask God and let the Holy Spirit lead me, because the same God that loved me, that saved me, that set me free is the same God that's not just going to set me free one time, but set me free throughout my life. Yeah. Not just going to help me once, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. No, he's here every single day to help me. So I just think that's really encouraging.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I would agree. That reminds me of Matthew 26:41, when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's like, I know that's in a different context. And he was telling them like, persevere through temptation. But here we see that same spirit who is willing to help us, who is willing to pick us up when we're feeling weak. Because in our weakness, God's power is made perfect. And I feel like Paul is really saying to these guys, like, stop trying to strive. Stop trying to complete the works done by the Spirit with your flesh, because it's impossible. Like, we can't achieve what the Spirit can achieve on our own. And I love that Paul's reminding them of that. And that actually is so comforting. And it's like the reminder that we have a Heavenly Father who is so much more capable than we are at anything. And he's actually always there. His Holy Spirit lives in us and is there to guide us and comfort us and like teach us the way to go. I just love that.
It's so good. I love the whole flow of Galatians, because you know, at some point along the lines, we chose to put chapters to block off sections. But this was a letter that was full. And you look at the actual flow of the book up until this point. Like, you've got one where it's calling back to like the true gospel. Two, where he's kind of talking about opposing Peter, because he is also falling under this. And he's like beginning to separate himself from the Gentiles and go back to the Jews and talking about doing things again and coming under the law again, not living in the freedom of Christ. And so like Paul writes about that opposition in Galatians 2 to basically say like, look, even the giants can fall under that. And then right after that, you read in Galatians 2, him saying it again, like, for through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God.
Yeah.
I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm just going to keep reading for a minute. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So he, again, slamming home that it is about dying to the law and living to Christ. And if you remove what it is to live in the grace of Christ, then Christ died for nothing. And you read it again in chapter 3. Out of that, we're going again. He's like, foolish Galatians, who's tricked you? Like, why are you going back to the old ways? It's basically what he's saying. Like, it was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing faith? Are you foolish? Why are you going back to living in the flesh? And this is this big overarching theme. And like he then slams it home with another point from Abraham. And then he goes into the difficulties of if you live by the law. Like, this whole book is all very thematic. And I'd recommend just reading the whole thing throughout, because it's so beautiful and it makes sense throughout. But I just like see it as a call for us as like Christians, as young Christians. Like, it's okay to get it wrong. Peter got it wrong. Paul's using other examples of people who got it wrong. But we need to be so careful that we don't fall back into the law. And you hear a lot of this talk about, you know, like breaking down religion, and now it's not a religion, it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a big phrase over the past 20 years. But I think the pendulum is beginning to swing back to the point where we are beginning to realize that we've lost a bit of discipline with our spiritual formation. We've become a little too loose and zealous, maybe in some areas, which is it's great to be zealous, but the theme I'm noticing is people are beginning to adopt more spiritual formation disciplines, like fasting and praying more and doing all this. And this is amazing. It's not that these things are bad, but if you're doing it outside of the presence of God, outside of hearing and gaining faith through Christ, then it becomes aestheticism, which is the deprecation of oneself just so you can get close to God. Mm. That is not the God we serve. We serve a God who empowers us through grace to do amazing things like fast and know him closely. But if you add the law into it, and suddenly your salvation is under the law, not under the name of Christ, then it becomes a terrible thing. It becomes aestheticism. It becomes self-harm. It becomes this thing where you're constantly trying to live up to a standard when really Jesus is all about inviting you into his mercy and his relationship to then empower you to freedom. Sorry, that's a bit of a flipping heck. I just went on for like 5 minutes.
No, it was so good. Come on. Tell the truth. Speak the truth, hey. Jesse Felly.
Do it.
No, that was so good. But like, okay, you've now started talking about this whole grace thing, right? Like not living in the law, bound by the law, like living by rules and patterns and regulations, and you have to do this and you have to do that and tick every box. We've gone from that to living in this grace thing. But then now Paul mentions this guy called Abraham, right?
Mm.
And he mentions this scripture that he quotes from Genesis 15.
Yeah.
And it says that Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith.
Mm.
So like, what is Paul talking about here? Like, how do we relate that to us? What is believing in God, faith, works? What's he talking about?
What's he talking about?
Yeah.
That's good.
What are the layers?
So Dizzle, so Dark?
What are the layers?
I've got some layers if you don't.
You've got some layers. If you start off, maybe I'll have another layer.
I can go.
Like an onion.
Like an onion.
This scripture in Genesis 15, if you think about it, is pre-Mosaic law.
Mm-hmm. So before Moses.
Before Moses.
Yeah.
So like one of the first, if you say like, what's the Bible's teaching? What's the Bible's lessons? What are the rules? Often people be like, oh, Jesus said some stuff, but really it's the Ten Commandments.
Oh yeah.
It's what Moses brought.
Mm. Yeah.
This is before the Ten Commandments. This is before there was any form of legalism. It was before there was really any defined religion. It was just man and God. And there were systems in place. So like Abraham, he was getting older in age. He was getting frustrated because he said he had lots of possessions, but he had no heir. Mm. He had no son to pass it off to. And he was ranting to the Lord. He was being honest with God. I think that's the first little, that's an interesting point. I'll get there in a sec. But he was ranting to God. And then God says, look at the stars. And he says, there will be, many will be your descendants, as many as the stars.
Mm.
And then it's at that moment that he believed in God. And it was counted to him as righteousness because of his faith. God spoke a promise over him. That wasn't, I'm promising that you will be free from these sins and that you will do really well according to this standard. No, he says, many will be your descendants and you'll be blessed and your name will be great among the nations.
Mm.
And then he believed it, and through his belief, he was then counted as righteous.
Mm.
It was through belief. It wasn't through action. It wasn't through doing. It was through just simply going, yes, God, I agree with that. I believe in that.
Mm.
And I find it fascinating that it's out of Abraham's honesty with God that comes the breakthrough.
Mm.
It's not out of Abraham's trial and error that breakthrough comes. He's not like Abraham gets older in age. He's grew frustrated because he had no heir. So therefore, I'm not going to get graphic on what it is to try produce an heir. But, like, he got...
That's great.
So therefore, he tried to have a baby and like worked for 40 years and he fasted and he prayed and he did this. Mm. But what it says he does is he came honestly to God, and out of his honesty, God said, look at the stars, I'm going to bless you. And because Abraham believed it, it was then counted as righteousness. It's so beautiful. Because it's so backwards. The world will tell you need to do. You need to take control and try to figure it out yourself. But God just says, listen and believe, and I will produce a nation.
Oh, I love that, Jesse. That is just such a beautiful thought of like just surrendering to God and just putting your faith in him. That's all he requires from us.
Yeah.
Mm. And also, I just feel like verse 5. So again, I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? It's again slamming the point that it isn't by your works, it's by your faith. And I feel like in the world, because obviously we don't have really the law anymore, the law's been fulfilled through Jesus, his death and resurrection. But we can sometimes fall into striving as Christians, being like, I need to serve every Sunday service. I need to do this, do that. I don't know, cook for Alpha this week. Or you're just, there might be like a pressure to just be constantly doing for God, doing for your church. And that's not, it's not always a bad thing. But I think it's similar to what you were saying, Jesse, of when you're doing that outside of nurturing your own relationship with God, when you're doing and not being with the Lord, that's what leads to burnout. When you're not going back to the well of living water to fill yourself up and like become refreshed. And Jesus describes himself as the well of living water. He is the one that we should run back to. He's the one that will fill us up when we're feeling dry and barren. And yeah, I love that truth. That it's not by works, but by faith, says the Lord, that we will be like justified.
Such a good point.
I don't know.
You do know.
I do know. I do know.
Affirmation.
By faith.
Come on.
Thank you.
No, but it's so true. Like the striving and the burnout. It's like with all the rules, and it's like trying to live up to rules, it just doesn't produce life. Like it makes you tired, and it ultimately, like, not to be dramatic and extreme, but leads to death, right? Like it leads to death. And even in the next few verses, like I'll just read quickly verses 10 to 14. But it says, those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commandments that are written in God's book of the law. Already I'm tired. Like, cursed if I don't obey every single... Do you know how many of those 613? Listen, I'm tired by the first five, let alone the whole 600, right? So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. So already Paul is saying, hey, there's a whole difference here. Like obeying the law gives you life, or living in faith gives you life. Let's listen. So then verse 13, it says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Jesus Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Just beautiful.
Oh wow.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Jesus.
That Jesus loves us so much that he would say, you know what? Like, I'm going to set you guys free from the jumping over many hoops and the never being able to like meet the standard, like being met in shame and cycles of guilt. And I'm never going to be perfect. And we're going to always have to sacrifice animals because we can never come close to God. Jesus steps in and sets us free from that. That we actually get to have the Holy Spirit that was promised. Like, we get to step into that promise, which is full of life. Like, I feel revitalized. I feel good. I feel like I've got some hope, you know? But I also thought it was interesting, the curse is anyone who's hung on a tree. I don't know why that sticks out with me, Because it says, cursed is anyone who doesn't observe and obey all the commandments written in the book of the law, right? But then also now, you're also cursed by hanging on a tree. So it almost makes me feel like the curses that are brought from like not meeting the standard and stuff, they all lead to like death and they lead to destruction. But Jesus hung on that tree. Like yeah. he took that curse. Mm. Like he took the shame and the punishment that we should face for falling short of the glory of God. Because the Bible says all have fallen short, you know, and the wages of sin is death, you know, all that stuff that we read about in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Jesus takes that on so that we can just be free and be with him. How good is he?
Yeah, I just ChatGPT'd it.
Love that.
ChatGPT.
Shout out to our faithful friend, ChatGPT.
I just wrote, cursed is everyone who has hung on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling me, it's Deuteronomy 21:23. So a book that's filled with basically the Mosaic laws.
Yeah. Mm.
This is where it's stemming from, the law.
Yeah.
It's not even like this is just something that someone said once. It's like this is literally a law.
Mm.
And it says that it being hung on a tree is a sign as a curse from God and a sign from being cut off from relationship with God.
Wow. Mm.
And it just reminds you of the cross.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, because it is about the cross.
Yeah.
But like it emphasizes the weight of in which Jesus died. Like he died simply so that he would take what it is to be fully cut off from God, so that we never have to experience that.
Mm.
So we have the option
so good.
To live with Jesus and God for eternity, you know. And I mean, as you were speaking it and saying this scripture, it just speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Mm. So like, good.
It, you don't even have to say much. You just go, wow. That's what I was doing.
Amazing.
That's crazy though, hey? That's Mosaic law. That's what we've been speaking about. And yet Christ fulfilled it. It's bonkers. He literally came to fulfill the law. He literally fulfilled that law by being hung on a tree.
Wow. And it just made me think about, like, just simply, like, trying to live by rules or maybe trying to adhere to culture and what culture is telling us to do.
Mm.
None of that produces faith. Like, that just kills.
Mm.
It kills. That cursed is anyone who doesn't obey all of them. Like, you can't even slip one. You have to obey them all. You have to observe them all. Like, it just, the stakes are so high, you know? And I think there are so many people that feel like I have to do all the things for God. And like, if I'm not doing everything, then like, God won't love me, or I have to clean up myself before I come to him. It's like, all of that does not build faith. Like, it actually destroys it because it makes you feel anxious. It makes you feel unsettled. It makes you feel like you don't know where you stand with God. You can't come to God. But like, that's not what the law was not designed to bring faith. Like, it wasn't designed to make you feel like you've got it all together or like you've got it. Like, no. But like, thank you, Jesus, that you've set us free from that, that we don't need to feel that. We can actually just live in the simple truth of your love, what you've done for us. And that's enough. Like, it's by grace through faith. Like, it's by grace and faith that Abraham was made righteous. It's by grace through faith that we are made righteous, which means we are made in right relationship with God, that God loves us, that we're good, we're set. And I just want to speak that, like, if anyone's listening to this and you feel like I need to be perfect before I come to God, or like, oh, I can't become a Christian yet because I need to stop doing this and stop doing that. Like, none of that is true. Like, you can come to God now because we're not bound by the law. We are bound by faith. Faith, which is so good. So yeah, just take the pressure off yourself. Like, come to God today. He wants you. He wants you with him.
Yeah.
Just take the pressure off.
Thank you, Jesus.
Should we read the final section?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's split it up because it is a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll read verses 15 to 22 and then we'll read the rest of it. Does one of you want to read?
Fine, I'll read.
Thanks, Jesse.
You guys demand so much.
Oh, wow. It must be hard,
It's a hard life.
So hard.
Wow. To just read a couple verses and then...
It's hard being Jesse Fairley.
Wow, it is. Wow. Deep.
Know, wow.
With those yellow shoes.
Oh. Prayers for Jesse, guys.
Tough. Yeah. One like equals one prayer.
If you subscribe, equals 10 prayers.
Lol.
It's good banter.
We're just joking.
I'm really honoured to be able to read the Bible on a podcast.
So cool.
ESV version. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it's been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made. And it was put in place through angels by the intermediary.
My translation says mediator.
Mediator. Intermediary. Now, that's the word again.
Now, you know, when you're reading that, one word comes up, you're like, oh man.
Dang it.
I'm just going to, what is your word say? Mediator. I'll just say that. Now, a mediator implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe.
So good. Wow. And also, sounds like quite complicated and like, what the heck are they talking about? Why the
Pastor Zenya?
I don't know who that is, but
Pastor Zenya, take us there.
I don't know what that word means, but what I can tell you is I might know a little bit of what it's talking about. So like Jesse said before, Abraham comes before Moses, right? Abraham, father of many nations, count the many stars in the sky, your descendants. Cool. God gives Abraham that promise. Abraham receives that promise and accepts it by faith. Then years later, 430 years later, we now have on Mount Sinai, Moses goes up and receives the law. He receives the Ten Commandments. And then later on, he receives more and more of the laws. But what the scripture is saying is that the initial promise that God gave to Abraham, that was completely separate from the law, like the promise of the law and the promise of the promise. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, that's great.
The promise of the promise was faith, right? But the promise of the law is not that. Like, the promise of the law is meet the standard, like dot every I, cross every T, all that stuff. And what it's saying is the law didn't undo like God's initial promise. It just overcomplicated it. Like, it just added all this other stuff. And I think what Paul is basically saying is like, we need to get back to the simple gospel. We need to go back to that initial promise of faith, grace by faith through Abraham. Like, we need to get back there, because what we've now done is we've now complicated the gospel and added all these other caveats to be able to have a relationship with God and to be able to inherit the promise. But none of that is true.
Yeah.
Like, it goes back to Genesis 15. And actually, the countercultural part of that is that it's not a promise that is just for a designated people group. Like Zoe was saying, like, it's for everyone. So even the Gentiles, the non-Jewish believers that some of these people had beef with, it's a promise for them too. Yeah. Like, we are all in this new family of God and we all have access to this promise. I don't know if I missed anything. I feel like I might have missed something, but hey ho.
You smashed it.
No, that was amazing. That's amazing.
I want to kind of find out the why. Okay, great. It doesn't take away from the promise. So why did we need the law? Why did God command Moses to do this? And I know we'll touch on it in the next little section. But before we move on to the next section, do you have any?
Under the law, they had to like earn and deserve for God's love. Whereas under grace, we just have to receive God's love and believe that it's there for us. That's like, that's just all that's required. And like, put really, really, like, that's really, really simply. But
no, yeah, so good. Just love it. I'll read the next section.
Wait, before you read,
Pastor Zen can bring.
No, I was gonna say before you read that I actually think I can answer part of that question of like, well, why did we need the law in the first place? Mm-hmm. In verse 22, it says, "But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Christ." And I think it's important to like, to just notice that the law was actually put there for a reason. Like we say like, oh, we don't need the law. We don't need the law. No, they actually needed it at the time. Yeah. Otherwise God wouldn't have given it. So I think on the one hand, let's actually respect and honor like the process of why that was given. And I think one of the reasons why is because all throughout the Bible, the entire Bible points to Jesus, right? Everything points to Jesus. Jesus from Genesis to Revelation, go throughout, you'll find him. If you seek, you will find him. Yeah. I think the law, like the prisoner language is interesting because it points to the fact that like we need a savior. We need freedom. Like there's no, like we keep repeating that like, there's no way to adhere to all these laws, which would make you internally internally realize that you are in need of saving, but you can't save yourself.
Yeah.
And that points to, wow, I'm a prisoner bound. I need saving. Where is my God? Where is my Messiah? Where is my savior? Mm. And then throughout the Old Testament, you hear the messianic language of a savior's coming and all this stuff. And that would have allowed people to look at the law and see God in that and see actually my savior is coming. Yeah. So that I think one of the reasons why the law was there was to point people to the fact that like God wants to save you. Yeah. Like, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so, so good. And I, and ultimately God's heart with bringing the law isn't to condemn.
Yes.
But it was actually always a solution to meeting him. Mm. Although it was temporary, although we had to work in it a lot more, it was always meant to be temporary.
Yeah.
There was always meant to be a savior that comes and sets the world free.
Mm.
From the moment sin entered the world, God began devising a plan for Jesus to come. Devising, is that a word?
Yeah.
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 Creating, I'll say creating.
Sure.
Creating a plan for Jesus to come and to redo what was done so that we may live in the fulfillment of relationship with God. Mm. And so, like, I think it's very easy as well to be like, oh, the law, why would he make the law if it, all it does is condemn? It was never meant to condemn.
Mm.
It was just meant to be a temporary way that we can meet with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I love what you touched on a little bit in verse 22. I just want to read.
Yeah.
Read it.
Because this is my response to you isn't a theological point. It's just scripture.
Come on.
Before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So it's before Jesus we were held captive. We knew that it was going to be revealed. We just didn't know when. God had a plan for it. So then the law was actually our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. So it's also described as a guardian. It was actually a protective thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to be on our team. Mm. We just took it and got a little out of hand with it.
Yeah.
Became a little religious with it to the point where we didn't have the presence of God as the focus. Mm. I'm just going to continue. But now that faith has come, we're no longer are under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to promise.
Ooh.
So good. It's just the response to that, isn't it? It's it shows that heart that this was not meant to stop you. It was meant to protect you. This was not meant to be the solution. It was meant to point you to Jesus.
Mm.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, and I also really love how, like you talked about the structure before, how it starts the chapter with like who bewitched you. Like Paul knows like the Jewish Christians and the non-Jewish Christians are going at it because people believe that we should be getting circumcised and living up to the law, and you can't be really with Jesus if you don't adhere these rules. And then he goes back and he's like, no, you're no longer Jew or Greek, like you're no longer Jew or Gentile. Mm. Like that division that you guys are doing, like you were no longer doing that. Mm. Because of the promise inherited to Abraham through faith, we've now adopted into that. We are co-heirs with Christ. Mm. We are part of this multi-ethnic family where there's no divisions and we're all together. And I also love the whole like baptized in Christ thing. Mm. It like fully, like just hammers on in that full like immersion, that full community, that there's no separation because we are in him. Like to be baptized in water is so different to be baptized in Christ. Because when you're in Christ, you're fully immersed in him. Like being gone in the water fully, it's like you're fully in Christ. That means because I'm fully in Christ, I'm fully with you guys. Like we're all family, like it's all great. And I think that just shows like God's heart. God's heart was revealed in the law, but also God's heart for us was fully given through Christ, that God wants us to be not only united with him, but united with each other in relationship. And I think that's so encouraging. Guys, we can't do this Christian journey alone. There's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Like we need each other, guys, in community.
Yeah, it's great.
So don't forsake community. Don't neglect it. It's so important. And I love that Paul like just finishes that off with that.
Wow, that is so good, Zen. And I just love the metaphor that we're now like clothed with Christ. Come on. I mean, he doesn't love new clothes, like first of all, when you buy new clothes anyways, but sorry, side note.
Love that. Spoke to me, Zoe. Speaking my language.
But I just think, you know, when we buy new clothes, you always buy new clothes, well, hopefully for a purpose. Like you have an occasion that you need to go to, an event, I don't know, you're going hiking, you need to buy the right shoes. In order to, the only thing we need, the only tool that we need to be equipped with is our faith in Jesus. Through our baptism, we are clothed anew. God strips us of our old self and he puts on the clothes of Christ. And it's like, now we're walking down the street, people can see that we're in our new clothes. We've got our new clothes on. And our new clothes say Jesus on them. And we're glowing and we're reflecting the love of Jesus, all the fruits of the Spirit, like love, peace, joy, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness. We're showing them all because we're now clothed in Christ. And it's Paul reminding the church of Galatia here that you've been given these new clothes. So why are you keeping them in the box under your bed? Like, actually, go get them out and put them on.
Yeah,
because it's a gift.
Yeah,
and I know you like the gift because when you got the gift, you were like, oh, I've never seen anything like this before. Sorry, going on the metaphor, but
love that metaphor.
Just put the new clothes of Christ on. Yeah, it's there for you. It's there for you.
And the final point I have to make on this whole thing is like, again, like this book, Galatians, just has such an intentional thematic flow through the whole book. And I'd really encourage people to read it, listen to the next one, because even as we've been speaking, you know, we're talking about adopting, like being co-heirs is one of the things you spoke about earlier, like being brought into the like family tree of Christ and of Abraham. And like the next section in Galatians 4 is all about sonship. It's about what we get to receive in Christ. You know, you're talking beautifully about removing, like God stripping away terrible things and putting on this new thing. You even talked about the fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5.
Yeah,
come on.
It says like, for you were slandering, you were drunk, like you had envy in you, but instead put on the ways of Christ by spending time with the Holy Spirit, and you'll be given peace. You'll be given love, kindness, fruitfulness.
That's good.
Not fruitfulness, faithfulness, gentleness. It's like this whole book. It's just a big encouragement to put our faith in Jesus and not in ourself. And put our faith in our identity in Jesus, not in ourself.
Yeah.
Not in what we can do. And that is Paul's heart. It's like, guys, come on, don't relearn what you had to unlearn with
so
the law.
Good.
Yeah.
Don't pick up a cross that you were never meant to carry. Because I carried it for you. Like, don't go back to where you were, because Jesus has paid it all for you.
Yeah.
Please. He's kind of like pleading for it. He's like, then Jesus died in vain. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
God, the Messiah died in vain if you accidentally go back to the way of the law.
Mm.
What an encouragement that we need to be intentional about remembering that our faith is not through doing, but through being. And our identity is as sons and daughters of the living God.
So good.
Amen.
And I love how that's not just an encouraging message for them then. No, it's been written for us now. Like, then I think that's important. That's why we're reading it. You know, sometimes we can get caught up, like you were talking about, the striving. We're trying to adhere to the law. But actually, we need to remember to go back to the simple gospel. The simple gospel that is through grace, through faith, that you are saved. And that is the freedom that we get to walk in. So I actually love that we get to talk about this.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to figure it out. We're trying to remind ourselves of this.
Yeah, hey, you need freedom so much.
Mate, I'm trying to be free. I'm trying to be free so much. no, but I think this is great. And we've unpacked so much today. And there's so much that we didn't even get to touch on in the scriptures. Like, there was so many verses that we didn't even have the time to reach. But maybe you guys read it as well. Maybe you have read this before and like stuff was speaking out to you. We'd love to actually hear what you have to say. If you leave us a comment and like give us little thoughts, like what's God been stirring in you, what verses stood out to you, like we'd love to hear what you have to say, because we just want to keep growing in our knowledge of the Bible. It's great. But yeah, like Jesse said, we'll be back next episode going through Galatians 4. If you haven't seen the other episodes, make sure you go back, watch them, listen to them. Let us know what you think of this Galatians series, because we're loving it as a team and it's feeding us. So we hope it's feeding you too. It's been so good.
It's been one of my favorite series.
So good.
Such a good book.
What a book. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening and watching with us, and we will see you in the next episode.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Peace.
Bye.
Love you.